name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel reading, the Gospel according to St Mark, chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus' words, "The Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." It's rather ironical that last Sunday we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Cross, and today in the Gospel Jesus gives a prophecy of his death and resurrection. We heard a similar prophecy in last Sunday's Gospel from John chapter 3. And you may remember I made the point that mostly the disciples didn't understand when Jesus talked about his death and resurrection, or just couldn't believe it. And we see the same thing again today. In verse 32, Mark says, "But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to ask him." What is more ironical is what follows. Jesus, having said this about his death and resurrection, as the apostles keep on walking, they discuss amongst themselves who was the greatest. You know, it's rather bizarre, really. Jesus has just told them he's going to die, and all they want to talk about is who is going to be first in the kingdom of God, and that's not the first time that we know it happened. They are more interested in the ways of the world, in the pecking order. And perhaps we would have to say that the church is very good at doing that. You know, behind the archbishops and bishops and canons to the ordinary come the lowly parish priests and then all the pew fodder. So we might be guilty of doing exactly what the apostles did. Self-importance is the most humorous and painful of all the sins, I think. But you know, Jesus has been teaching his disciples so much, and now he comes to the crux. He declares that he will suffer, he will be killed by men, and after 3 days rise from the dead. As last Sunday's celebration of Holy Cross Day reminded us, this is the core of the gospel, Jesus' death and resurrection. It's the heart of the Christian faith and should be the centre of the church's preaching. But all the 12 want to do is argue about who is the greatest. Matthew has another account of this. In Matthew 16, verse 22, he records St. Peter's reaction as saying, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." So even though St. Peter might understand what Jesus is saying, he doesn't want it to happen. All St. Mark says is that the apostles didn't understand and were too afraid to ask what it meant. In one ear and out the other, had they really listened to what Jesus said? It seems so stark and profound, and yet perhaps because it was so stark, it was better for them to talk about something less important. And how does Jesus respond? Well, his response is reminiscent of that occasion when they brought before him the woman committed in adultery, hoping he would do some condemnation. You remember his response was to ignore exactly what they were suggesting and to doodle in the sand, as if to say, "Go away and come back with something significant." And this time he takes a child, a little child. Here they are talking about who is the greatest, and I guess in the pecking order a child is the most defenceless and powerless. And he sets this child before them to tell them in action that what they are talking about is so silly. A startling reminder that there is no power in following Jesus for them. If the 12 thought they were important, Jesus stops that sort of thinking with a little child. It seems to me there are three things about this gospel event that have a message for us now. Firstly, if the disciples didn't understand, then maybe we have our doubts also. And the Catholic faith is broad and big and goes back 2,000 years. I would be surprised if you didn't have some questions or doubts. Most of us do believe the faith, and happily accept the Nicene Creed as the core of the Christian faith that we have received. But we may not understand it all, and it seems to me today's gospel says that's okay. The important thing is that our hearts are linked with Jesus and that we love him and want to follow him, even if we don't quite get it all. The second thing is that when he called the apostles, he didn't call them to follow him in a straight line in some sort of pecking order. Jesus first, St. Peter next, St. John, and then all the others. No, following Jesus meant they were to walk with him, side by side, even with their doubts and lack of understanding. And I find that encouraging because that applies to us. We are called to walk with Jesus, even if we don't understand everything. And so you see, when Jesus said we are to take up our cross and follow him, it's in the context of what he's talking about in this prophecy today. It doesn't necessarily mean we would have to endure sufferings, though some of us might have to, and some of you have had your share of sufferings. But that's not exactly what Jesus meant. To take up our cross means to walk with Jesus, because he walked with his cross. When we walk with Jesus, it may be the road to Calvary, or it may not, but it will certainly be a path to new and unending life. And this brings us to the third point of relevance I see in today's gospel. The message of the cross is central to the gospel. That was surely the point of today's epistle. St. James is writing to a church that seems to have internal wranglings. Wow, 2,000 years ago. Nothing's changed. And particularly in chapter 3, verse 16, he is concerned about these wranglings, which he describes as jealousies and feuds. We don't know which church he was writing to in the first century, but it could be any church in any century in any place. Some of you have had experience where in a local parish church, things that are minor are raised to become major problems. And what happens is that people get personal or criticise or get offended. Sometimes for the most obscure reasons. And suddenly there's division and unpleasantness, and the cross has slipped from view because we have become self-important like the apostles. You can see how it all holds together in today's gospel. The cross is not only the focus, it's the answer to when we take up the ways of the world. And so the church in every place, diocese, parish, internationally, needs to seriously take to heart what St. James is saying today, and particularly in chapter 4, verse 4, where he says, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Hard words. We're all friends of the world, but what he is saying, of course, is that sometimes the world's priorities take over from what should be God's priorities in our life. And so this saying cannot be glossed over. As I said, it's all about our hearts. And to go back to the point I first made, Mark says about the apostles, they did not understand the saying. If the apostles had difficulties, we should not be surprised that we may also not understand everything. You may have doubts about some of the things you hear from the pulpit or that you recite in the creed. Remember that neither the creed nor the pulpit are here to beat you into submission, but rather they are here to challenge you, to challenge all of us, even the preacher. Sometimes I have to say things that I find difficult, but that we all need to hear. In this case, we must not follow the example of the 12 who did not understand and were afraid to ask. I've met bishops like that. They tell me that when they said the creed, they crossed their fingers. That's hardly thinking with your brain, is it? It's really a cop-out. It's the problem, I think, of our church today. Too many people are crossing their fingers. Not so with Jesus. In today's gospel, he places before us well and truly the reality of the cross and his resurrection. Not only does he prophesy it, but we can see it fulfills the Old Testament as shown in the first reading, a wonderful reference to Jesus and those who put him to death. You see, the cross is more than a piece of jewelry or a sign we make with our hands, as important as those things are. And if the reality and the meaning of the cross sometimes seems beyond our understanding, we need to remember that Jesus died for everyone, those who understand and those who don't. But especially those who seek meaning and purpose in their life and seek to live with their hearts entwined with Jesus' heart. In today's gospel, Jesus is challenging us to make the cross real in our lives because it was real. And because Jesus really suffered and died and really rose from the dead. And that is why St. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.